Well, before the World War II Allies invaded Normandy on D-Day, there was Operation Torch, the risky amphibious landing in Algeria and Morocco 60 years ago today. Was the first step in liberating Europe. An Army at Dawn is Rick Atkinson's new book about Operation Torch. He says the North Africa campaign deserves more historical attention.
It's really where the United States begins to act like a great power for the first time in our history, militarily, diplomatically, and strategically.
Why North Africa at that time? Why not just go into Europe?
There was a huge fight about where to go. The American impulse, led by George Marshall, the chief of staff of the Army, was to go straight for the jugular, to stage in Britain and launch across the English Channel and head for Berlin. The British impulse was, wait a minute, we've been kicked off the European continent 3 times already in this war. The Germans are much more ferocious than you anticipate. They have 25 divisions in France alone. If we stage in Britain and go across the English Channel, we're going to be slaughtered. And at the best, we will be bottled up at Calais or somewhere on the French coast. Churchill persuaded President Roosevelt, despite the admonitions of Marshall and all of the others in the American high command, that it was best to start on the periphery. And if you're going to start on the periphery, start in the Mediterranean, North Africa. If you control North Africa, you control the Mediterranean Sea, which is very important strategically. It gives you access to Suez, to India, to the Far East. Roosevelt decided, against a great deal of griping and complaining by Marshall and others, that this is what they were going to do. So they decided to go to North Africa. It happened on November 8th, 1942, 60 years ago, and there was a reluctance by the American high command, even as they were doing the landings with 100,000 men, mostly American, a lot of British also, that this was the right move strategically.
I guess fatigue had set in. It started out fairly well, this campaign, and then bogged down.
It did. There was a belief that when the landings took place in Algeria and Morocco on November 8, 1942. And it's important to remember that our first foe was the French. Most Americans, even those who are well-read in history, don't know that we fought our oldest friends initially,
the Vichy French.
Pretty bloody fighting for 3 days. The Vichy capitulated, and then there was a turn to the east to Tunisia. And if you control Tunisia, you control North Africa. If you control North Africa, you control the Mediterranean. There was a belief that we would get there quickly. There were no Germans or Italians in Tunisia at the time. We underestimated greatly the agility of the Germans to get there. Our landings were November 8th. On November 9th, the Germans began arriving in force in Tunisia. And the American and British force got to within sight of the minarets of Tunis in November of 1942, and there they were stopped. And the fighting bogged down for 5 months subsequently in something that was not completely different from the trench warfare of World War I. Very intense, very harsh conditions. And it took until May of 1943 to finally oust the Germans, to surround them, to reduce the bridgehead. Hitler made the strategic decision not to evacuate. Cost him 250,000 soldiers. The loss for the Germans and Italians was almost as great as Stalingrad several months earlier.
You feel the North Africa campaign kept the Allies from invading Normandy, Western Europe, prematurely.
I think going into Normandy or somewhere else in Western Europe in either late 1942 or the spring of 1943, which is what the American High Command wanted to do, would almost certainly have been catastrophic. The difficulties that the Americans in particular had in North Africa showed how unready we were for global war and for a war against a foe like the Germans. The capacity of the Americans and the British collectively to put a substantial force onto the coast of France, even in the spring of 1943, was pretty limited. And the Germans, I believe, would have had little trouble in bottling up that force. There could have been a bridgehead there, but it would have been a bridgehead like the one we see a year later at Anzio, where we landed in January 1944 on the coast of Italy, under strength, undermanned, overmatched, and the force at Anzio was bottled up for 5 months, under shelling the entire time. It was awful. And I think on a larger scale, that's very likely what would have happened had we gone into France prematurely. I believe that, in fact, North Africa helped to save us from our own ardor.
Victory presented a problem. There were suddenly more German prisoners than anybody could handle.
It's pretty amazing. Hitler made the decision for a variety of reasons, some of them good, many of them bad, to leave that army there and to fight it out to the end. We had greatly underestimated the number of prisoners that were going to be taken. What do you do with 250,000 men suddenly? How do you feed them? Where do you send them? For the first time, large numbers of German soldiers began to be shipped to the United States, where they're put in prison camps here.
We're losing veterans rapidly, but I imagine the veterans of North Africa who remain will be very grateful for this.
They're forgotten to some extent, and they ought not be forgotten. Again, I think part of keeping faith with them is telling their story. I think the story of World War II is fundamentally bottomless, like all the greatest stories are. There's more to write. There will always be more to write. The World War II veterans are dying at a rate of more than 1,000 a day. There's still several million of them alive, but of course those who fought in North Africa in 42 and 43 tend to be older. You know, November 8th, 1942 was 60 years ago, and I think that it's important to them that we remember what they did.
Rick Atkinson is the author of An Army at Dawn, The War in North Africa, 1942 to 43. From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Jim Wallace and directed by Tom Bullock. The production staff includes Steve Monroe, Melissa Gray, Barry Gordimer, Van Williamson, Christopher Johnson, Kara Gerhard, Christine Arrowsmith, Jasmine Huda, Chip Crabo, Jim Wildman, Sarah Mobley, Jamila Bay, Ben Gilbert, Shannon Rhodes, and Ann Stopper. The executive producer is Ella McDonnell. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Bob Edwards.